أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا. صلوات
الله على محمد وعلى محمد.
I have been requested to talk about the Walidain in this Majlis al-Aza. So this ayat of Holy Quran from Surah Al-Isra, which I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that your Lord has commanded, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا, that you do not worship إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. That means don't worship anyone other than him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and do good behavior and dutiful behavior towards the parents. And Allama At-Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh in his tafsir has mentioned that Allah is mentioning the topic of ihsan and good behavior towards the parents soon after mentioning the matter of his tawheed, that no one should be worshipped other than him. So nafi of shirk, negating the associating of partner with Allah. So soon after mentioning the issue of tawheed and negating the shirk, Allah mentions the issue of ihsan towards walidain, which is a dalil that if there was, Allama At-Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi says, if there was anything more important in the eyes of Allah than ihsan bil walidain, he would have definitely mentioned that thing after the mention of his tawheed. But since Allah did not mention anything other than the ihsan bil walidain, it proves the fact that the importance of ihsan is right next to the importance of tawheed and nafyu shirk in Islam. So this is the importance
of the subject, and I think this statement of Allama At-Tabatabai is enough for us to understand how the high level of importance of the subject. And unfortunately, this is also one of those issues which is very much ignored in the society, generally speaking. And the obligations towards the parents are first of all not known to most of the people, and not performed by even more number of people, including some of those who know the obligations. So look at the narration from Mustadrak al-Wasail that a person came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Qila ya Rasulullah ma haqqul walid. Someone asked the Prophet that what is the haqq and right of the father. And Prophet replied according to this narration, أَن تُطِيعَهُ مَا عَاشَ, that you obey him as long as he is alive. That means throughout the life of the father, it's your obligation to be obedient towards the father. So whatever he says, obviously that does not include the things that if the father or the mother asks you to do a haram, you know, anything which is against the hukum of Allah, they cannot be obeyed. No human can be obeyed in the ma'siyat of Allah. Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam has already said in Nahj al-Balagha, لا طاعة للمخلوق في معصية الخالق. Is that right? So there is no obedience of a creature in the ma'siyat and sinning towards the Creator. So as long as the father is alive, the son or the daughter are supposed to obey. فقيل ما حق الوالدة. Then someone said to the Prophet, it was said to him that what's the right of the mother? And that's where Prophet says, Hayhat lo anna adada ramli alaj. If the particles of the sand of the desert and the drops of the rain that has fallen down on the earth, on the world, they all stand in front of the mother. Ma adala dhalika yawma hamalathu fi batniha. This is not going to suffice. This is not going to parallel for one day of hardships that she tolerated in carrying the baby in her womb. So you can imagine, which I am paraphrasing these narrations in my words, you can imagine how important is the right of the mother. Definitely, mother has more rights as compared to the father, and all those rights continue in Islam throughout their life, and not just that, but even after their death. When the parents expire, the huquq of the parents do not end at their death. As long as the children are alive, they are supposed to perform the rights to the obligations towards the parents. And our levels in the paradise are directly related in Islam towards our behavior regarding the parents. So if a person has good behavior towards the parents, this is something which is extremely beloved in the eyes of Allah. So much beloved that it can possibly take you next to the station, next to the manzilat of the Anbiya in the paradise. It's a very big statement that if we are not prophets of God, we cannot be equal to them. They are masoom, isn't it right? But despite the fact we are not prophets and we cannot be equal to them, but serving the parents in Islam is so beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it can entitle you to reach a level where you are next to the prophets in the paradise. So in the narration we find that Hazrat Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, he asked Allah that I would like to know who would be my neighbor in the paradise. That means the person who is going to be next to me in Jannah. Allah said to him that go to such and such location, such and such neighborhood in the city, and there is a butcher, Qasab, there is a butcher who is your neighbor. It's a very surprising news for anybody to think that Prophet Musa is one of not just a regular Anbiya, but he's part of the Ulul Azm, is that right? Although we have controversy among our mutakallimeen about how many Ulul Azm messengers do we have. Some say there are 5, some say there are Ulul Azm are 18 messengers. But despite the fact there are 5 or 18, but Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is for sure among all the mutakallimeen, he is for sure part of the Ulul Azm list. He is one of the highest messengers of Allah, is that right? One of the highest 5. So a person who is going to be a butcher is the neighbor of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam in paradise. He, Prophet Musa expressed his surprise on that news, and obviously he was curious to meet with that person. He went there to in that neighborhood to the shop of that butcher, and was just witnessing how he was doing his business. Doing the business transactions is one of the one of the things in which we discover how mutadayyin and religious a person is. So whenever you interact with the rest of the people in the society, this shows your tadayyin. Your actual tadayyin and religious practice is not discovered when you are doing your individual and infiradi duties towards Allah. Your actual religious practice is known towards your wada'if ijtima'iyya and siyasiyya, towards your social and political obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we discover a person is mutadayyin or not. Otherwise Khawarij were praying salatul layl, is that right? When it comes to the lovers of Imam Ali and the muhibbin of Imam Ali, they were slaughtering them. In the infiradi and personal duties, they were very pious people, very muttaqi. But they were the akhbasul khalq. They were the worst of the humans in the wada'if al-siyasiyya wal-ijtima'iyya. Isn't that right? So let's correct our mizan and miqyas of and criteria to judge the people. We judge the people based on their political and social obligations towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. That's our criteria of judging the human, not about how they pray or fast or give the zakat and khums and fitra and do the hijab or not. This is not the mizan in Islam. La tanzu, Prophet has said, La tanzu ila tuli ruku'i al-rajul wa sujoodihi wa kasrati salatihi wa siyamihi wa tilawatihi. In some of the narrations, Tilawat is also added. Don't, the Prophet is actually stopping us from looking at the long ruku' and sajda of the people. Not just he doesn't consider it to be criteria, he's blocking us from looking towards that. Don't look towards lengthy ruku' and sajda of the people. And a lot of abundance of salat and siyam and كثرة تلاوته and his abundance of tilawat of Quran. فَإِنَّ ذَلَكَ شَيْءٌ قَدْ اَعْتَادَهُ, because it may be a thing he has habituated himself to do that. Lots of people are doing the tilawat of Quran out of habits and adat. It is their habit, they do it. Lots of people are just praying because they are habituated of doing the salat. Is it right? They are doing 15 harams in their life, let's suppose, on daily basis, and they continue to do those 15 harams every single day, and still they are praying. Isn't it right? So they forget what Allah has said in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Certainly the prayers stop from fahsha and munkar, from the indecent and the haram act, the munkar and the wrong act, but they're doing the wrong acts day in and day out. So this salat is not considered to be salat to begin with in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they're doing it. So that's not even the criteria in our eyes to judge their religious practice either. So Prophet Musa was there next to his shop to see how the business how his business transaction is, because business transaction is part of the wada'if al-ijtima'iyya, social duty. How you interact with the people is very important. Very important in Islam. He didn't notice anything significant or inspiring, just a regular way of doing the business. Because business, like I said, is also very important. Imam Ali al-Salam was there and he saw there was an amma, a kaniz, a servant of somebody buying the meat at the shop of a butcher in the time of Imam Ali al-Salam. And this servant, female servant, she was insisting on the butcher to give some little bit more of the, little bit more than the weight. And this, obviously, the butcher was constantly saying, no, I'm not going to give you anything more. So Imam Ali al-Salam saw this conversation taking place between the butcher and this servant, and he said to the butcher, give him something more. The entire barakat of your risk is in that extra little bit of the meat or the bone that you give more to her. So this is, we do discover the tadayyun of a person in the way he does the business transactions. We do discover it. It's very important to see. So Prophet Musa was right when he was trying to notice, when he was noticing the business procedure that this person is following. But he couldn't find anything, extraordinary in the behavior. So he said to the butcher, can I come to your house? He said, well, why not? Obviously, he's a prophet of God. Prophet visits the house. It's a matter of pride and, honor for every believer. So Prophet Musa visits his house. He goes there inside the house, and there he discovers that this person has an elderly mother, a blind mother. He enters into the house. First thing he does, he washes the hands of his mother. And the narration says that he combs the hair of his blind mother. Then he goes to cook the food for her. And after preparing the food, he's putting every luqma into the mouth of the mother with his own hand and feeding her. And when this kind of caring behavior was noticed by Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he congratulated this butcher, Qassab, by saying that I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask Allah to introduce me towards my neighbor, and you are my neighbor because of the khidmat and service you perform for your mother. Please say salawat. Another narration says that قَالَ رَجُلٌ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ والدتي بلغها الكبر وهي عندي الآن أحملها على ظهري وأطعمها من كسبي وأميت عنها الأذى بيدي وأصرف عنها مع ذلك وجهي استحياء منها وإعظاما لها فهل كافأتها. I have an elderly mother who is with me, that means she lives with me in my home, and I carry her on my back. Obviously she cannot walk herself, so this son carries her mother anywhere she wants to go, and I feed her from my earning, and I remove all the other, anything that can be harmful, I take care of her. Any kind of thing which is harmful, you take care of her and keep away all those things away from her. And I, in addition to that, what I do is that I don't, I turn away my face from her so that she doesn't end up feeling embarrassed because I'm doing all these services for her. So I don't want to make her, cause her the haya and embarrassment in front of her because of my hard services that I'm doing. And this is why, this is because I consider her to be, you know, for her greatness. This is the kind of, basically, I hold her to be great in my eyes. So this behavior that I do towards my mother, is it sufficient? Am I sufficing? Am I doing what, you know, I'm supposed to do to counter, to parallel, to balance what she has done towards me? These services of mine are going to be equal towards her services? And now Prophet says, "La, no." لأن بطنها كان لك وعاء. Because her womb used to be the container of your existence. You used to live inside her womb. وَثَدْيَهَا كَانَ لَكَ سِقَاءً. And her breast used to be the means of you basically quenching your thirst. وَقَدَمَهَا لَكَ حِذَاءً. And her feet used to be your shoes. And so, وَيَدَهَا لَكَ وِقَاءً. And her hand used to be your protection. So she used to do all these things for you, in other words. And her lap used to be the place of your comfort and relaxation. You see so many mothers, the babies are sleeping in their lap, isn't it right? Mothers cannot sleep because of that. Sometimes the mother has to walk in the night, you know, for hours and hours, and she's carrying the baby, and baby is sleeping comfortably. She doesn't even know what the mother is doing for her or him. Isn't it right? Throughout the night is passing by, and the baby is comfortably sleeping, and mother is unable to sleep. وَكَانَتْ تَصْنَعُ ذَلِكَ لَكَ وَهِيَ تُمَنِّي حَيَاتَكَ. She used to perform all this for you while having the tamanna, arzu, the wish that you survive. Is that right? Mother is doing all these hardships while she's wishing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my baby survives. وَأَنْتَ تَصْنَعُ هَذَا بِهَا وَتُحِبُّ مَمَاتَهَا. And you do all this towards her while you love her death. So she dies as ASAP, so that I get rid of all these hassles that I am doing for her. So deep in the heart of the person is the wish for the death of the mother, whereas deep in the heart of the mother was the wish for the life of the baby. Peace say salawat. Now there are children who basically behave insanely towards their fathers or mothers. We find several children have been transferring the father from one brother's house to the other brother's house, or the mother, one brother's house to another brother, keep it just like a football. They're transferring the mother constantly from, she cannot live a peaceful life at one place. They keep on transferring the father or the mother from one house to the other, as if it's a burden to keep the father or the mother in their house. Isn't that right? The actions speak louder. You have to say it. And even in the concept of becoming aq, disowned by the parents in Islam, according to the fiqh and jurisprudence of Ahlul Bayt, the parents don't need to express it to you. Hey son, now onwards, you are aq. I disown you. Father doesn't need to say that to you. As soon as we misbehave towards the father, even if he does not express it expressly towards you, you are automatically disowned by the father in the fiqh of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So we find that Allah has mentioned the good behavior towards parents next to the mention of his tawheed. Is that right? Like Allama Tabatabai has said, this is enough to understand the ahamiyat and importance of this issue. So we find that the children are supposed to give shakhsiyat, importance, hold the personality of their parents up and high. Don't try to crush the personality of your father or your mother. Don't try to bring their shakhsiyat down. Don't insult them. Don't misbehave towards them. Even if you do whatever you may do after, you know, crushing their personality and highness, it's not going to compensate for that until they forgive you from their heart. Their forgiveness plays an extraordinary role in Islam for the barakat and the sa'adat and success of ours in both the worlds. So we find that this person, this young man, was brought in front of Rasulullah, and he was on the deathbed. It's mustahab to do talqeen of the kalima, isn't it right? When a person is dying, we do talqeen of those vital information, names of the you know, 12 Imams, isn't it right? And about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about all the rest of haqa'iq of the Day of Judgment. And we do the talqeen towards the person who is dying and the deathbed. And most important of all those things is the names of the 12 Imams and the kalima. We need to keep on repeating these things. We did study the Ahkam al-Muhtadhar in the fiqh class on Tuesdays, for those of you who are present. So among the Ahkam of the Muhtadhar, it is that in the Alam al-Ihtadar, we teach the kalima. We ask the person to keep repeating the kalima in the final moments, which is very instrumental. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in his hadith, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." Isn't it right? Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet has said, whomsoever's last statement is la ilaha illallah, he enters the paradise. Obviously, la ilaha illallah has shara'it, bishartaha wa shurutaha wa ana min shurutaha, like Imam Rida alayhi salam has already told us in hadith of the silsilat al-zahab, golden chain. So la ilaha illallah, saying the kalima in the final moments is extraordinarily important. This young man was brought to the Prophet. He could not say the kalima. And Prophet inquired, is he tariq al-salat? Prophet is trying to find out, see, what's the reason? He knows already, he has the ilm al-ghayb. Prophet asked, is he tariq al-salat? And they said, no, Ya Rasulullah, he used to pray. Is he tariq al-zakat? He doesn't pay the zakat or khums or fitra, the Islamic wajib taxes. Zakat is used in the literal meaning of the word, which includes all the taxes of Islam. So they said, no, he used to pay the taxes. Prophet said, is he aq from the parents? So we understand in light of this hadith of Rasulullah that these are the possible reasons a person may not even end up saying the kalima in the final moments of the life if we become tariq al-salat or tariq al-zakat. Is it right? Or we become aq from the parents. Then these are the possible reasons why we may not even get the tawfiq from Allah to say kalima in the final moments. What does it mean? That means we are lacking the sa'adat. So now, they said, Bala Ya Rasulullah, that's the case. He's aq from his parents. So, his mother was alive among the parents. Prophet asks his mother to become radi and pleased from him. She refused flatly. You know, I'm not going to become pleased from him, because this son of mine, he hit me, he slapped me so hard that basically because of his slap, one of my eyes became defective, naqs in the eye. So I don't want to be pleased with him. Like I said, the behavior towards your father and mother is significant for everything of our life. Everything. Forget about the akhirat only, even about dunya. It's directly related to your business, directly related to your, you know, success in your investments, directly related to everything of your own personal life. Like there's a story mentioned by Ayatollah Dasghayb Shirazi rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the very great scholars was killed by the Munafiqeen. He was the Imam al-Jumu'ah in the city of Shiraz after the Islamic Revolution. Munafiqeen killed so many ulama, is that right? And that's where Imam al-Khumani commanded the guards to be placed on every big alim for their protection. So Ayatullah Dasghab, Sayyid Dasghab Shiraz, he was the Imam al-Jumu'ah of Shiraz. And killed by the Munafiqeen, La'anatullahi alayhim. So we find that he has met with Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam twice in his life. As narrated, he has mentioned in one of his books that a person saw in the dream about a very famous businessman in the city, very well-known businessman of the city. His friend saw in the dream this businessman, and he saw there's paradise and there's a huge palace in the paradise. So this friend asked that this palace belongs to whom, and he was told that this palace belongs to such and such businessman, and he knew that businessman, he was his friend. So Ayatollah Dasghab Shiraz, he says in his book that all of a sudden, as he was looking at the palace, he found there was a flash of fire came, and this flash of lightning and fire burned the whole castle, burned down the whole palace, all of a sudden. And he woke up from the dream, and he was shocked because he knew the businessman very well, he was his friend. So this guy woke up, he went straight in the middle of the night, it was night time. It was not, you know, appropriate to go and visit the house, but he was the friend. He went in the middle of the night, he went to his house and he knocked his door. And he asked his friend, "Can you tell me what exactly you did right now?" And he was shocked, "What happened?" He said, "Yeah, because I was sleeping and I saw in the dream there was a huge palace in paradise, and I was told this palace belongs to you, and all of a sudden I found a light, a fire comes and burns down the whole palace. What exactly did you do just few moments ago?" He said, "Yeah, just few moments ago I slapped my mother." He said, "That's exactly what you did towards yourself, and I saw it in the dream that your palace was burnt. That means that all the good deeds that you performed by now are gone down the drain." So this is what Ayatollah Dasghab Shirazi Rahmatullah Alayh had mentioned in his book. So what we were saying is that Prophet asked that mother to basically forgive her son, and she refused. So Prophet said, "Bring the fire." She asked the Holy Prophet, "Why are you asking to bring the fire?" Prophet said, "Because I want to burn your son." She said, "No, I don't want my son to be burnt." Prophet said, this is what is going to happen in Barzakh. That means as soon as he dies after a few moments, this is exactly what the angels are going to do to burn him in the fire. So let me burn him in the fire. In other words. So she said, well, this is not part of the hadith. Let me, I'm just explaining the action of the Prophet. So she said, "Ya Rasulullah, well, I carried him in my womb for 2 years, for 9 months, and I breastfed him for 2 years. Right, in Islam, it is mustahab for the mother to breastfeed the child for 2 years. More than 2 years is haram in Islam. You cannot breastfeed the child for more than 2 years. So I carried him in my womb for 9 months, and I breastfed him for 2 years, and for the sake of you, I forgive him." And as soon as she says that, this young person started to say the kalima on his own. Start saying, "La ilaha illallah Muhammad." Please say salawat. So, it is very important, brothers and sisters, to note that our behavior towards the parents is whatever scholars and urafa say, yuwallid at-tawfiq min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It generates the tawfiq We all pray for Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiqat. Is that right? Allah give us the tawfiq. That's the best thing we can pray for each other. One of the best things is to the tawfiq from Allah. Is that right? Nobody can do the Salatul Fajr on your behalf. That's something you have to do on your own. What you can get is the tawfiq from Allah to wake up to do the Salatul Fajr. Is that right? Nobody else can do anything more than that on your behalf. You can pray to Allah, may Allah give me the tawfiq to pay my khums. May Allah give me the tawfiq to do the hijab correctly. Isn't it right? May Allah give me the tawfiq to perform the hajj. No one else can go on your behalf. No one can go. That's the limit. So tawfiq is the one of the best things that we can get in our life. And this tawfiq is generated through several factors. And one of those several is the khidmat of our parents. And if this khidmat is not there, then as one of the teachers was telling the story that one of the big scholars was traveling in a taxi, and there was a young boy who was also traveling in the same taxi with, you know, with his mother. And so this young man, he requested the scholars, please iltimas dua, you know, please pray for me. Obviously, that's what we say when you find big scholars. This is one of the things we ask them to pray for us. It's very natural. So this young man also said the same. And this scholar asked him, who is this lady with you? And he said, well, she is my mother. And the scholar said, well, instead of asking me, you ask your mother. Because her dua is mustajab, is accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask your mother to pray. And when the scholar said that, the mother, she burst open and she said, well, this son of mine has been torturing me so much in his life that, you know, she started to tell her stories and stories and stories to the alim. And then the alim said, well, you know, even if we have 124,000 prophets of Allah praying for you, it is not going to be accepted. As long as she, first things first, as long as she is not pleased with you. So there are principles. Allah is running the universe by certain sunan al-ilahiyya, certain divine formulas and principles. We need to abide by those. Like, remember in one of my speeches I told you the story of Zamakhshari. And Zamakhshari is one of the very great scholars of Ahl Sunnah, isn't it right? And he, one of his legs was broken, was cut off. And somebody asked him, what happened? Such a huge scholar, he has written Tafsir of Quran. Tafsir of Zamakhshari is very famous. This is what the Wahhabis frequently quote, the Tafsir of Zamakhshari, in their books. So you find Zamakhshari is a very big scholar, his leg was cut off. And somebody asked him, what happened? He said, well, when I was young, I had a bird in our house, and I tied up a little thread in the leg of the bird. And what happened is that I was trying to capture it, and the bird went into some hole. So I tried hard for the bird to come out, didn't want to come out. So what I did, I started putting this thread very hard. Bird was resisting. Finally, I put really big pressure, and when I pulled it really hard, the leg of the bird broke, and the leg came out, bird didn't come out. And my mother was seeing this whole scenario, and she cursed at me, and she said that may Allah cut your leg the way you broke the leg of this bird. Now, after 30 years from that incident, what happened, I was traveling and over a horse, and I fell down from the horse, and the doctors, the atibba, they said there is no cure for the illness of your leg, except that we need to cut off this leg. And they had to cut it off, and they cut off my leg. So I realized, he was an alim. He said, I realized that the dua of my mom was mustajab, and it was accepted by Allah after 30 years. So we need to understand, sometimes we don't even discover, why is it happening to me? We really have the ma'rifat of the religion and the basirat to even understand that much. That requires ma'rifat to understand. So we find that in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says that, please pay attention, من أحزن مؤمنا ثم أعطاه الدنيا. Whoever sorrows a mu'min person, you tease some mu'min person, cause aziyat for some mu'min person, make him sorrowful. من أحزن مؤمنا ثم أعطاه الدنيا, and then he gives the whole dunya to him. Prophet didn't say he gives $1 million, that somebody can say, well, now I'm going to give more than $1 million. Prophet says the whole dunya. ثُمَّ أَعْطَاهُ الدُّنْيَا. Whoever saddens a mu'min and then he gives him the dunya, that's the hadith says الدُّنْيَا. That means give him the world. لَمْ يَكُنْ ذَلِكَ مَصِيبَتَهُ وَلَمْ يُجَرْ عَلَيْهِ. This is not going to be his reward. I mean, whole dunya cannot be the reward, and he will not going to be given the ajr and reward over that giving of the dunya to him. So what we learn in the light of this hadith, that it is significant to basically win the heart of the mu'min instead of causing any teasing or torture or huzn or harm for the mu'mineen. We need to win their heart. We need to, if I do something wrong, I have to apologize from the person and make sure that he forgives, specifically the parents. So they should be pleased from their hearts, not only from their tongue but from their hearts. And in the day of Ashura, we find there are several parents present and several mothers also are present there. Is that right? And we find some of the best examples of Ihsan bil Walidain is found on the occasion of Ashura. The day of Ashura is the example, an iconic day to understand the concept of Ihsan bil Walidain in Islam. How those Awliyaullah, all of them are Awliyaullah, all of them are beloved personalities of Allah. Isn't it right? So how these beloved personalities, Awliyaullah, are behaving towards their parents. This is something that we need to remember and keep on repeating over and over again. What was the behavior of Habib ibn Mubahir? What was the behavior of his son, who was in Kufa, towards his father? What was the behavior of Muslim ibn Aws Saja, salamullahi alayhi, towards his mother? What was the behavior of Zuhair ibn al-Qayn towards his mother? His mother was also present there, right? What's the behavior of Hazrat Qasim ibn al-Hasan alayhi wasalam towards his parents, who were not present there? You know, his father was not there, but still the huquq in Islam continued towards the parents. What was the behavior, above all, of Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi wasalam towards his parents? What was the behavior of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam towards his parents? When Imam Husayn alayhi salam asked the crowd, the ashqiya, did I convert the, you know, halal into haram, in other words? I'm not narrating the exact words, but did I change the sharia of Rasulullah, in other words? And they said, no, you didn't do that. So then why are you up to killing me? And they replied, Bughdan li abika, because of the hate of your father. So it's because of the hate of Imam Ali al-Islam that Imam Hussain is punished and killed today. So now look at the behavior of Imam Hussain al-Islam towards his father. Imam Hussain cried over his father on the day of Ashura, in the Maidan of Karbala. And that's what our scholars say, that the most mazloom person in the history of humanity is Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And the Dalil is that Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam, he cried on the day of Ashura over his father.
This is the Azamat of Imam Husayn and this is the Azamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And we find we have Ali ibn al-Akbar alayhi salam present. Isn't it right? There's another son. And his father is also there. But tonight I would like to mention, talk about a son whose father and mother both are there, but he was not of the age of doing any battle. Ali ibn al-Asghar, salamullah alayhi. He's also a son, isn't it right? And his parents are present. Hazrat Rubab, salamullah alayhi, is also there. And Imam al-Husayn, alayhi salam, is also there. But he cannot even speak. He cannot even wage a fight, a battle. And when Imam Husayn alayhi salam raises his nida of istighatha, hal min nasirin yansurana, hal min mughifin yughifuna, hal min dabbin yadubbu an haram Rasulullah, is there anyone who can help us? Is there anyone who can rescue us? Is there anyone who can defend the haram of Rasulullah? And there was no response coming. There was one response coming from Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, who comes out, although he was very weak and he was sick, but he comes out with a broken spear to defend Imam Husayn alayhi salam. And Imam Husayn asks Umm Kulsum, khudihi, take him, that means take him back towards the khayma. So another reaction was from Ali ibn al-Asghar alayhi salam. He dropped himself out of the mahad, out of the cradle, as if he was trying to say to his father with his action that, Baba, I cannot speak, but I want to defend you. I cannot leave you alone in the maidan of Karbala among the ashqiya. Imam Husayn comes into the khayma and he was told that Ali ibn al-Asghar, because the lady started to cry, and Imam Husayn heard the cry of the ladies, so finally he comes into the khayma and he was told that Ali ibn al-Asghar, he dropped himself out of the mahad and he's not coming into the lap of anyone. So now Imam Husayn, he extends his hands towards Ali ibn al-Asghar, and there are no words mentioned in the narration, but as if the son understands the language, the body language of Imam Husayn's hands, and he comes quickly into the hand of his father. And now Imam Husayn is taking Ali ibn al-Asghar towards the maidan. Obviously, you know, in the khayma there are several ladies present, and at the door of the khayma, Hadrat Rubab alayhi salam is standing there at the door of the khayma. This is her son being taken towards the maidan. And look at how Imam Husayn tries to give, you know, tasalli and to comfort her. But, you know, in other words, all the people who went there, those who went there were able to fight. Your baby is not even able to fight. Maybe I can get some water for him. And Hazrat Sakina bint al-Husayn is listening to this conversation between Imam al-Husayn and Hazrat Rubab alayhi salam. And Imam Husayn brings Ali al-Asghar to the maidan and asks the ashqiya to give him some water. And they did not reply. They did not respond to Imam Husayn. And then Imam Husayn alayhi salam says Ama fikum Muslim? Isn't there any Muslim among you? We all know how much emphasis and ta'keed is there in Islam for giving water to the thirsty. And Imam Husayn is saying such a great statement. Isn't there any Muslim among you? That means none of you are following Islam at all. And there was still no response. And Imam Husayn alayhi salam says a word, isn't there any sahibul awlad, somebody who has children among you? Because obviously the father or the mother, they know, they can understand what happens if your baby are thirsty, how you feel at that time. The parents understand that.
But there was still no response. Imam Hussein puts him over the ground and Maidan, and the sand, the burning sand of Karbala. Because if these people, they think that Hussein ibn Ali wants to drink water himself, Imam is putting his baby over the Maidan, so they can come and feed him water themselves. Tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, no one can say, we wanted to give water to Ali Asghar, but you know what, we did not want Imam Hussein to drink water. So Imam Hussein puts him over the Maidan. This is the Itmam al-Hujjah that Imam of the Waqt is doing towards the Ashqiya. But there was still no response. And finally, Imam al-Hussein asks his baby to tell them how much thirsty you are. And Ali Asghar, when he gets the amr and command of his Mawla and father, he starts rubbing his little tongue, his dry tongue over his lips. And that was the time, the history says, the Ashqiya started to turn their heads away from Ali Asghar. And some of them started to cry. And, you know, Al-Umar ibn Sa'd, la'natullah alayhi, he says to Harmala, itta' kalam al-Hussein. Cut off the kalam of Hussein. And that's where we find the three-pointed arrow is thrown towards the neck of Ali Asghar. فَانْقَلَبَ السَّبِيُّ عَلَى يَدِ الْإِمَامِ. The child dies in the hands of Imam. And now Imam al-Hussein is holding his baby, and the blood is falling down from the neck. The arrow has struck into the little neck of Ali Asghar, three-pointed arrow, and it goes and penetrates into the arm of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Look at the shaja'at of Imam Hussein. He gathers the blood of Ali Asghar, and narrations are multiple narrations. Some of the riwayat say Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to throw the blood towards the sama. And the nida came that if you throw the blood towards the heaven, there shall be no rain raining down ever after that incident. Imam Hussain, so he tried to throw the blood over the earth, and the nida came from the earth that if you throw this blood over the earth, no plantations will grow. Some of the narrations say Imam Hussain did throw. Sayyid ibn Taus rahmatullah alayhi says that Imam Hussain threw the blood towards the heaven, and the blood is there saved with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find some of the narrations say Imam Hussain took the blood and he rubbed it over his own face. So Imam Hussain is going to meet Rasulullah tomorrow with the blood of Ali Asghar on his face. So we find that Imam Hussain is now carrying his baby. Look at the father. The father is carrying his baby towards the mother, towards the Khayba. Imam Hussain alayhi salam moves 7 steps forward and 7 steps backward. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Radan bi qada'ihi wa tasleeman li amrih. We certainly belong to Allah, and towards Him we are returning back. And we are radi and peace towards the qada and amr, and we are submissive towards His amr. Look at the azmat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. There's no complaint. He doesn't have any complaint towards Allah. He is ravi and has tasleem towards Allah in every matter. This is the azamat of Imam Hussain. So we find that finally, when he moves towards the Khaymah, and Hayat Rabab, she knows, she discovers that Imam Hussain is bringing Ali Asghar. And Hazrat Sakina, obviously, you know, Hazrat Sakina heard the conversation that Imam Hussain said to Hayat Rabab, maybe I can get some water for him. And Sakina heard that. Now Sakina comes forward, that Baba is coming and bringing Ali Asghar back towards the Khaymah. She comes to Imam Hussain and says, I'm also your daughter. You provided water for Ali Asghar. I'm also your daughter, in other words. But she said words. So we find Imam Hussain removes his aba over the janazah of Ali Akbar. And they find out that Ali Akbar is killed by the three-pointed arrow.
على رحمة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.
لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إلهي حق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. يا الله 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 يا الله. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم وفق على الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one سورة الفاتحة for the following مرحومين. مرحوم محمد حسين سيد محمد حميد جعفري ابن سيد أكبر حسين. مرحومة صالحة خاتون بنت سيد يوسف حسين غزوي. And Surah Al-Fatiha also, yeah, for all these mu'mineen. And three times Surah Al-Ikhlas. Read the ziyarat of Imam Hussein.